Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Because I know Matt's at work. I don't want to hold on to him too much. We'll come back to this delicious news that you're delivering. It's fun. Matt Dorito, Pop Evil, PopEvil.com is the website. Of course, you know, the founder of StarTreatments.org. One of the nicest human beings you'll ever meet, an amazing musician, super talented, builds custom motorcycles, works for one of the greatest custom pistol builders in the United States, if not the world, Cabot Guns, super huge company, on his off time.
And this is why I love Matt, never stops working. He's like, I was like, are you still at work? And he goes, no, I had to leave work a little bit early. I'm driving to Michigan to film a video.
Oh, of course,
so
he is.
So Gunsmith, the rock star, always.
Well, the new single is Breathe Again. Here's a piece of it for you guys. I love the fact that this is branching out, growing, you know, everything's moving forward. The band is always changing.
Hailing from Grand Rapids, Michigan, they have consistently proven themselves to be one of the most electrifying live bands in rock and roll. This is Pop Evil. Now, they've released a new single, Breathe Again, from their upcoming album due out next year. Please welcome Pop Evil bassist and longtime friend of the show, Matt Dorito.
We're on the road going to shoot a video in Michigan?
Yeah, buddy. Man, I thought I'd be able to squeeze in like a half day of work before heading up to go do my shots, but my time slot got bumped up a little earlier, so
crazy
here we go, man. We're going to shoot a video for that new song you guys just looked to a little clip of.
Excellent, man. Breathe Again, dude. It's good to see the band stretching out. Pop Evil not getting stuck in the rut, you know. And look, it's scary for every band to alter their sound at all. And you guys, album by album, that evolution has been fun to listen to.
Hey, man, it's fun for us, too, you know. Like, variety's the spice of life.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you're not growing and evolving, then you're just getting stale, and it just is. I mean, that's just the way this world is. Anything you create, you know, it could be motorcycles, guns, music. It's got to change a little bit and move forward because, God willing, you're getting better at it as you go along.
Well, let's hope so, man. Dude, so I got this awesome package just showed up randomly on my doorstep, man, and I'm like, I don't think I ordered anything. And I tear into this thing, and I'm looking at it. I'm like, this is like one of those tactical shelves, like you use like a key yeah. card on. and it opens up, pops up, and you can have guns hidden in it. And I'm like, who would have gotten me this? And then it clicked. I was like, there's only one dude cool enough to give me something like this, and it's Johnny. Dude, thank you so much for the housewarming gift, man.
No, you're welcome. Awesome. I'm happy for you, man. You got a new house. You're going to need something that works. And I love those things, man. I was looking at them online. I'm like, God, it's just... And I've always thought they were a fantastic idea. It's a shelf that's, you know, I don't know, what, 3 feet, 4 feet long. And it's really nicely made, Nick. But you pass, like, you can put your an RFID on the bottom of something you would set on the shelf. And when you put it over a certain part, two pistons lower it down. And you can put your AR in there. You can put a couple pistols mm-hmm. in there. But it just otherwise is just a shelf on the wall. And, you know, it's kid-proof for a couple reasons. Because it's tall and you got to know how to open the thing.
Sure.
So, and plus you don't have any kids. So it works out perfect, Matt.
Yeah, it just, like, allows me to be, like, super sneaky and have cool little hidden things, like I'm 8 years old, but I'm not.
Yeah, right?
You know what I mean?
I'm a child just like that's my thing. I love that stuff.
Big boy toys, but, like, yeah.
You know what I was worried about?
All about, like...
What I was worried about with it is you build stuff for a living. You build custom bikes. You build custom guns. And I'm like, man, if this is not as quality, I kept looking at this website and trying to dig into it, thinking, if this is kind of half... You know, janky, it's not going to be a good gift at all. So I'm hoping it came and it was really well built as it looked like on the website.
Dude, it's awesome. Like, I actually had that website earmarked, like, in my list to, you know, go back and revisit that and, like, get some of those things. So, like, that's awesome. I was already, you know, wanting to grab one of those anyway. Thank you.
Good. Oh, you're welcome, man. And congratulations on your new house, man. That's a big deal. And, it's, you know, this world is always changing. And I got to tell you, since I stuck my foot in my own ass last time we talked, when I was asking about your girlfriend and you guys had separated, that moment, I got to thank you, saved me Friday. Our friend Jason Sudeikis came in and down to the bottom studio where we're doing guests now. And he was in for a big charity event called Thunder Gong. And, you know, he's with Olivia Wilde and they have a couple kids. But because he didn't bring her up, and I just talked to you a month or two ago and stuck my foot right in my own mouth by asking. I intentionally did not say a word. And sure enough, that afternoon it broke that they broke their engagement off after all these years. I was like, whew.
No.
I was like,
dude, that's awesome.
Thank God I learned my lesson with Matt. That's
still so funny.
Dude, I'm never asking about, here's what I've learned. Don't ask about somebody's parents, their girlfriend, or their dogs anymore. It's over.
If they offer it up willingly,
yeah, awesome. That's it.
That's funny, man.
So let's talk about what Pop Evil's got. Now you're gonna go up and shoot the video. Do you know what the storyline is for the video? Is it live performance deal, or is it gonna be a storyboard?
Yeah, well, you know, I can't reveal too much until it comes out, but you know, I guarantee there's gonna be, you know, live performance aspects of it. But the funny thing is, we're all shooting individually. Because of the situation
sure.
that we're in, like, Haley's still stuck in the UK, so she's going to be shooting completely separate from the rest of us, and, you know, we're going to do a bunch of individual shots and try to compile it together. But yeah, as far as, like, the actual storyboard for the video, can't give too much away there, but
gotcha.
And it's really funny, too, because, you know, we've gotten just an amazing response to the song since we've released it, you know, about a week ago now, I guess, and it's just weird how timing and stuff works, because, you know, we wrote this song a year ago. You know, this was, like, done, recorded, off to be mixed and mastered back in March, you know, back before, like, any of this lockdown stuff happened. And it's just funny how, like, when stuff comes out, people, you know, will interpret it to, like, whatever is going on in the world or in their personal lives at that point in time. And it just kind of goes to show you, like, there's sort of a gamble there. You never really know, like, what's going to be going on in the world when you,
of course,
write a song by the time you release it.
And it couldn't be any weirder of a time. Like, trying to figure out, I mean, at least the world in regular times is somewhat predictable in the sense of summertime, wintertime, you know, what's happening in the world. An election, whatever. There's a time frame to it now with this pandemic and COVID and just everything that comes along with it. Yeah, no, there's no predicting it other than writing a song about everyone is frustrated. Everybody's worried. Everybody is needing something to believe in and needs to start working towards one common goal.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Pretty wild.
Yeah, it is. It really is. But you know what? I think that, you know, guys like you set the example, Matt. I mean, when the band couldn't tour and can't play, you record the album, and then that's done. So you put that where it's going to be, and then that's off your plate. You go, I got to get a job. What do I love to do? Well, I've been working with this gun company like Cabot Guns. And you go in, you're working 40, 60 hours a week. You know, and not, obviously we all need money, but because you love it, you know what I mean? It's not like it's some kind of a letdown. Obviously you love playing music, but I also know I can tell clearly how much you love working at this company.
Yeah, definitely. You know, it's because, like, nothing is off the table, you know? If anyone has an idea, and we come up with some really weird ideas, you know, it's like, cool, let's figure it out. Let's solve this puzzle and see what we can do with it. Like recently, you know, I guess we didn't really release this yet, but I'll tell you guys, we're working on like a set of these grips for these guns. You know, we have like a set of like three of these really outlandish guns that we're building, and we wanted like something really unique with the grips. We talked before about how we've made like a bunch of guns and gun parts out of meteorite and things like that.
Right.
Well, we actually acquired some sand from like an impact crater where one of these meteorites hit the earth.
Excellent.
And what's weird about it is like it's almost like a foam, you know, it's almost like sea foam or something like that in consistency. It's really light, it's really airy, but you know, we got a section of it, like a slab of it, like you would cut a slab of wood out. And you know, the big challenge was like, okay, how do we stabilize this material and figure out a way to machine it and cut it and turn it into grips without completely destroying it or watching it crumble? You know, how do you put threads into something that's made out of sand? Like,
right. So how do you do? Do you seal it? Do you have to seal it and then create it from that?
Yeah, we came up with. Of course, there's a train going by right now.
Of course, there is.
Yeah, hi, I see you. We're stopped. of course, man. Had to be during the Johnny Bear show. Keep those tracks moving, boys. All right. So, yeah, we had to come up with, like, a whole process of, like, all right, you know, what type of, you know, epoxy or resin do you use? What's most viscous that can, like, seep down into all the little pores and cracks and get as much air out of this as possible? You know, how do you do this without turning that sand into mud? You know, as soon as you put something wet on it, you know, that's kind of like science 101 there. You know, you put water on the sand, it turns to mud.
Correct, so
like,
yeah.
What's neat about it is like this impact crater is from like Kazakhstan, like where Borat's from.
Right.
And, there's like an impact crater there that's like 5 miles in diameter, and this is where we, you know, took it out of the earth. Well, we didn't do it, but, you know, that's where it comes from. And so it's got all these crazy, like, colors in the sand, too. You'll see, like, you know, really light colors down there, like dark colors, and it almost looks like a marble swirl.
Yeah, because the heat and the pressure from the impact are going to take iron ore and different metals that are in the sand and different impurities, and they're going to change their color.
Yeah, exactly, man. So to, like, preserve that, encapsulate it, like, stabilize it, machine it, and turn it into, like, grips that'll match up with one of these guns is, like, pretty cool. So we ended up just finishing those up. I think there's, like, six sets of them or something. We've got a few, like, real special guns we're going to put them on. But it's stuff like that keeps me, like, engaged, you know? It's like, if I made the same thing every day, day in and day out, it would be just monotonous, no matter what it is.
Let's contrast and compare. This morning already, I have given away a silicone Jesse Jane vagina reproduction to put your penis in, and a dildo. It wasn't a dildo, and butt ass beads, hearts on a string. It's called by Curved Toy, silicone ass beads. So we've had a very comparable day in our creativity.
You're like a sexy Santa Claus, man.
As he was going through all the stuff he's doing, I'm like, I gave away like a pull start for your butthole.
Run,
dude, that's why, honestly.
Two-stroke
Oh, yeah. When I was a kid, you know, like 17, 18, fooling around like with your girlfriend, and we got some of those ass beads. And the first time you did it, I was like, this feels, I don't want to do this anymore. I feel like I'm pole starting a lawnmower.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, also as a kid, nobody tells you don't do it fast. So. Mm-hmm. So.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. Don't go fast.
But that's, you know, but it is this life, like creating stuff. And well, you and I have talked about it all the time. That's why Disgraceland is so important to me, or hanging out with the guys at DSS, creating stuff, just finding something to do with your brain. Because, man, it does suck when every day, the thing I feared most of all in my life was getting stuck in a job that I do not like 8 hours a day. And I had a couple of those when I was pretty young. And even then, I could see the 40-hour nightmare in front of me. Like, if you hate the job you have, hate it with all your heart, it's going to poison your whole life. Like, the second you go home, all it does is start to count down the time you have to come back. I remember getting to work or getting out of work on a Friday, and instead of being like, it's Friday, I remember thinking, I got to go back Monday. And it would sour your weekend. And thankfully, man, I've never had to do that. But it really is a genuine fear of mine. Because I watched my dad do the right thing as a man, and he had a wife and kids, and he just, you know, birth, school, work, death, right? And he worked jobs I don't think he loved, but he was a super responsible father, and it makes me sad for him because I think he would have really loved to do something other than he was doing.
Sure. Like, he almost didn't get to have an identity because, you know, he's taking care of the family.
That's
it. I watched my dad do the same thing, you know. It's pretty wild. You can tell by going into a job like that, you can see, like, you can see your future laid out on the faces of the people that have been there for 10 plus years. You know what I mean? Like, it's like a crystal ball of, okay, well, if I stay in this job, what's, you know,
right,
what's gonna happen, man?
No, it's it is a gift beyond gifts. And again, but it's also what you put into it, and then luck comes into it. I mean, you had to meet the right people in Pop Evil, then it's got to gel, and the right, you know, chemistry has to be there. And then even if the band gets along and feels good with each other, now you got to get a record deal. Then you get the record deal. Now somebody's got to say they like the music that you're making. And then after that, the race is just on, and it's the never-ending race. And people don't get that with a musician. Like, you think, if I got a record deal, the rest of my life lays out for me. And the truth is, you just hit second gear, and you better be able to run.
That's right, man. Yep. Put your seatbelt on.
Yeah, because that monster has to eat. Do you ever get freaked out that one day you won't be able to come up with what you need to come up with, that you won't be able to access that creativity?
No, I don't. I mean, I see that happen. You know, you get burnt out on one thing, but my big thing is, like, I don't know how that creativity is going to come out. Like, I don't know if it's going to come out in music. I don't know if it's going to come out in a project at home. I don't know if it's going to come out, like, you know, building guns or starting a new venture somewhere. You know, I'm always going to create. Like, that's part of me.
Yeah.
I just can't always control, like, what form it's going to come out, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, it is what it is, you know, when it hits, it hits. So, and you're the same way. I know, dude, you're an artist, man. Like, you may have a lot of different mediums. Your medium might be a flamethrower with some diesel canisters on your back, or it might be driving around a tractor or bulldozer and, you know, like, taking care of your land and stuff like that. Or it could be, you know, coming up with creative content or having just conversation.
Well,
creating good talk. Like,
you got to live. You have to live. That's the one thing. I can't speak to for anybody else, but Nikki knows. You've been around this business forever. Radio guys who only live in radio, they say die. They just, all of a sudden one day, they're just no good anymore. But if you live your life, you have real friends and regular people, and you go out into the real world, and you actually have an actual interest in the planet around you, you have a much better chance of staying, I don't know, somehow more relevant and more creative with yourself. But we do tend to get wrapped up. You see musicians become nothing but musicians, and they isolate themselves from the world that created their music in the first place, man. It's and I'm not pointing at Guns N' Roses, but you listen to that first record, how raw and street and true and genuine it is. And then, you know, you know, obviously success gives you money. It also isolates you a little bit, and you have to dig in hard to find that again.
Yeah, man. You listen to a lot of these bands that come out their first couple records. They're full of inspiration. They're full of life. They're full of anger or whatever it is, you know what I mean? Like things that you can relate to. And then I've seen so many of them, you know, and toured, I'm not naming any names, but, you know, I've toured with a handful of bands where, like, I grew up listening to them. I was, like, blown away to be touring with them. And then you realize, like, they're just out there just trying to keep the wheels moving.
Right.
You know, like, just trying to grasp onto something that happened 10 years prior. And, you know, the success that they built 10 years prior, but you see, like, they haven't really done anything since then, you know?
You have to live in order to have something to talk about, to write about, to think about. We were on the show the other day talking to, you'll rarely meet someone like this, but over my life, I've actually met people that have said, you know, music isn't very important to me. I'm like, what's your favorite band? And they're like, I don't really have one. I go, what's your favorite kind of music? And they're like, I don't know, whatever's on the radio. And I'm like, and I just look at them like they're goddamn aliens. And it's hard for me to wrap my head around the idea that somebody has lack of feelings like that. And I, obviously, I'm not even judging them. I didn't even consider that it was possible to not care about music. But obviously, it is.
Yeah. I've met a few people like that, too. And it's difficult for me to understand. It's almost like they speak a different language, you know?
It's weird. Yeah, it's and I feel bad for people like that because whatever you missed. But on the other hand, I think people look at me, I don't give a goddamn about sports. I wish I did. I know I'm the weirdo. I have no idea why I missed genetically whatever happens to a boy, like whatever you're supposed to have. Like, it's never been important to me. I'm not against it. I don't hate it. I want my team to win the city I'm in. But if I never saw another sporting event again, I would have no feeling about it whatsoever.
I'm the same way, man. I think growing up, it was like music or sports for me. It's kind of how it was laid out. It was like, well, I'm not any good at sports. And, you know, like the guys that are good at that stuff like to pick me apart, make me feel isolated and stuff. And, you know, diving into music, it was like, well, there's something for everyone. Everybody wins. You know, it's never like us against them. It's like us against the world, you know, kind of a thing.
Yeah, no, that's very much the same thing I was like when I was a kid. But, you know, isn't it funny? But that leads you to something like STAR treatments. You know, when you started that idea that kids need help, you know, that, listen, everything comes from somewhere, the inspiration, the idea that this organization provides VIP transportation to medical facilities for kids who are receiving ongoing medical care and they need a special kind of transportation. Whatever it was in your past, however you felt, whatever isolation or something that you didn't get or you felt, that drove you to this because you have empathy. You know what it feels like. Somehow, some way, you go, man, I really want to help these kids. I want to help somebody who feels helpless. And that's, you know, those are the things that build us.
Yeah, man. I think there's, you know, there's part of me and a part of a lot of us that you always want to root for the underdog, you know, someone
always.
Who hasn't been dealt the best hand. And I mean, we've all been there at some point in our life.
Sure.
And I just think it's important to recognize that.
No, punching up.
Make an effort to, you know, grab them and lift them up.
Well, and how much better do you feel in your world? And I mean, you and I have spoken about this before, but it is borderline selfish, the good in your heart when you are able to help somebody and really do something that you think moves the needle and helps somebody, whether it be the smallest act of kindness to a stranger or a bigger act of providing a tour bus to a kid to get to their cancer treatment. There's a goodness that comes to you that until you feel it, there's no way I can explain it to you, but I promise you, and people who really go out and change the world and do good things, it doesn't cost them anything. It gives you more than you'll ever, ever put out.
Yep. You're 100% right about that.
Yep.
Hey, Johnny, when are you going to write a book, man?
Never. Dude, listen.
Ever?
Here's the thing, because people have asked a couple times, in all honesty, and I think, dude, who really wants to hear about a radio disc jockey's life? And we talk about life on the show, but I just think, you know, I honestly, like, I'm a voracious reader, especially of rock and roll autobiographies and biographies. Like, I've read all of them. I have a library full, literally hundreds of books in my house. And those I love with all my heart. But I just can't put myself, interesting-wise, in that category.
No, see, I see it differently, man. And I think a lot of other people would, too. You don't just talk to people in the music industry about their lives. Like, you're a part of it, and you've had these guys, like these influential people in the industry, you know, crashing at your house and, you know, going on adventures with them and doing different things. Like, it's, I don't know, I think you undersell yourself, but.
Well, but you know what? Maybe I'll start putting it down and see if it reads, you know, worth it, goddamn. But I mean, I don't know about you, but like every single one, I can tell you that reading the original David Lee Roth book, like Crazy from the Heat years and years ago, or, you know, the original Doors book, No One Gets Out Alive, or, you know, the Beatles book, and it just goes from there. I mean, I consume it. The last great one I read, it was so overlooked by the industry. It was Chip Monk, who was their manager and tour manager for the years they took it over from Burl in the early days, all through the Warner Brothers and all through the bootleg shirt stuff. And then he was unceremoniously fired because he never even had a contract with Van Halen. But his look into that world was so fantastic and better than anything I've read in a long time. And of course, Motley Crue's The Dirt is the goddamnedest book. And I'm not sure if it's all totally true, but I don't care because I love it so much.
Man, when I was a young man, I read Marilyn Manson's autobiography.
Mm-hmm.
That was like one of the first musician autobiographies I had read, and it was so interesting and well written. Like, the dude's got such a great voice. That got me hooked on those. You know, I started getting them left and right. Flash's book, you know, Rex Brown, like, any film I could get, Keith Richards, like,
yeah, the Manson.
I don't know. There's something so interesting about it.
Well, Manson was so smart, and you're right, the voice he wrote it in was so good, the Brian Warner voice, about being a kid who felt weak and picked on, and then he felt like a weirdo, and then he just turned it. But he's really great at laying that emotion out so honestly and clearly that the story is incredible. Yeah, again, by the end, you're rooting for him, and you know, you're always wanting to punch upwards.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Pretty wild.
Well, that's how I learned. I fell into books when I was a kid. We didn't have internet when I was a kid, so you would just sit there. If you didn't have friends, you'd find a book to read, and you just bury yourself in it. You know, if your life wasn't exactly what you wanted, you could find somewhere to, you know, disappear into for a week at a time, and it was a pretty fantastic way to learn language and understand things.
Yeah. Yep.
It's either that or I also sold a little ditch weed on the side and rode BMX bikes, but that's a whole other show.
You do have stories, man.
I'm going to assume that at some point you've seen the inside of a jail cell. Well, how old were you the first time you saw one?
Would have been 21, 22, something like that.
What was the charge? Oh, did I lose you?
Maybe.
It sounded like I asked him a terrible question, and I just lost him.
Maybe.
I know, right? I'm going to put him on hold real quick, because I really did. There he is. Oh, you're back. Hold on.
Okay. Gotcha.
The best part was, I asked you, you said, and the phone went dead, like I asked the worst question in the world. Like, you were going to have to tell me it was for murder.
Oh, that's awesome.
So, what?
Yeah, all right, so it was the first time we played Rock on the Range. It was like the night before Columbus, Ohio. You know, like, we got there a day early. I had this girl I was dating from Miami. She's a Dolphins cheerleader. We went to this, like, party, and, yeah, I was driving drunk, right? But I'm in, like, a bright yellow Camaro at, like, 3:30 in the morning with some platinum blonde cheerleader next to me, just swerving all over the road. So, yeah, I got locked up. Actually, kind of a rock and roll story, though. Like, I got locked up. We were supposed to play the next day. Couldn't reach my manager. Couldn't reach anybody. And I'm watching the clock. Didn't sleep all night. And thinking, like, okay, I've got, like, 2 hours before I'm supposed to be in the jail cell.
Yeah.
And the show of our careers. And I ended up getting bailed out. Caught a cab to the stadium. Had maybe 35 minutes to, like, change my clothes, spruce up, and then get on stage and play. And, like, just, like, straight from jail to a cab to a stadium in front of fans.
See, You need to write a book.
That was a pretty rock and roll moment, but you know, not one of my proudest, but definitely
yeah, you know,
something I could talk about now and smile about.
Well, how mad was the band, by the way, when you walked up on that bus?
Dude, I've got a picture from that day with me and the band and like management, like the Capolinis and all that, and I still, it's hard for me to look at that picture because it was one of those things where you can just feel how much everybody despises you in the room.
Oh, that's the worst. Oh, it's the worst.
Oh, God, it was terrible. I felt like the smallest person on planet Earth.
Yeah.
It was insane.
See, my first time to jail was so much less rock and roll. It was so white trash. So I was 16. I was hanging out at an arcade and a pizza joint, and a scuffle broke out somehow, and some police came walking in, and they were being a little overly brash. And I mean, I'm 135 pounds, 5'4", and I got a little cute, I think, with a cop, and he goes, "Oh, okay," and just snatches me out of this Godfather's Pizza. And I kept running my mouth a little bit, but this guy all of a sudden handcuffs my little bitty wrist. And all I remember is I was like, "That car sure is coming up fast." And I mean, it was full face plant into the back of a car and then back of the truck. And then I remember they throw me into the squad car and take me over to the Latham Police Department. And the whole time I'm sitting there, and all I can think of, I am so dead. My dad, this is the worst thing that's ever happened. Like my father, who was an angry guy anyway, like I mean, how he's got to come pick me up from jail. I'm six. Like I'm waiting to be murdered at this point. And the only thing that saved me is they pulled me out of that cell, and there's no mirrors in there, right?
Yeah.
What I didn't know is there's a pretty good sized bruise under my left eye. My dad's like, "How'd you get that?" And I'm like, "Well, I'm a," and I kind of didn't want to tell the whole story in front of the police. I was afraid they would keep me. And he saw the whole thing. So I mean, the only reason my dad didn't put me in a coma that night was he was more angry about what happened on the way, even though it's not okay to do, but I'm sure there's no way I didn't deserve a small smack for that one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow, man.
Yeah, disorderly conduct. And strangely enough, the charges were immediately dropped. But that was my first trip to the to the Hooskow. And there's been a couple more over the years, but nothing recently for sure. You know, it's who makes us who we are. By the way, I want to know, in your story, did the cheerleader stay? Did you have a good show, and was after that show fantastic with her?
Yeah, she came. She came back. She didn't bail me out or anything like that. But like, you know, she ended up coming back to the show the next day, and that was fun. The show was awesome. There's a picture from that show that ended up on like the Rolling Stone website or something. Of you know, like me doing like a backbend or something like that, and. Yeah, so it turned out pretty cool, but man, like, one of those things that I don't think I'll ever live down with the band. Like, they were just irate. The Capolinis, you know the Capolinis.
Oh, sure.
They were irate with me.
I bet.
It was just, like, this silence that was louder than anything. Like, it was louder than any of them screaming at me. It was just the dead silence.
All you can do is pray for somebody else in the band to screw up. Yep.
Just wait out the clock.
That's it, man. You just got to wait for the news cycle to come around. It's and dude, I've seen some stuff over there. You know, over the years, like Jesse, goddamn, like I didn't know him at this point. He was opening up for Aerosmith in Topeka. They flew out of KCI, and he forgot he'd taken Whirly's 9mm and thrown it in his Halliburton case, and he tried to go through the goddamn security checkpoint, and the guy started talking to him going, hey, you're in that band Jackal, and he goes, man, look at this, they're talking to me, that's really great, and he goes, and about the time I thought it was weird, I was completely surrounded by guys wearing like terrible SWAT gear, and off to jail I went, and that's the first time he went to jail at KCI, and it just, I've been with Roman Glick in Texas at it was the hotel that always had the nice hotels that always had the giant atrium right in the middle. And it was in Dallas, Texas. And he decided he was going to climb. It's like a pyramid. He was going to climb the inside of these 1-inch pipes that were in a grid. And the bar had closed. It was 1 a.m. He and I are sitting there and I'm watching him climb up. And he literally got to the seventh floor, and it's inverted, so it's leaning him forward, and I'm waiting for him to fall out of the sky and die in front of me, mm-hmm. but there's a security guard looking at me, and he knows something weird's going on, and I can't really look at Roman, but out of the corner of my eye, I can see him getting higher and higher, and the whole time, I'm screaming in my head, all Jesse told me was make sure he gets to bed. We have an interview in the morning. Hmm. I walked him.
Oh, no.
Finally, and Glick went Glickzilla, so I get Glick to his room. I wait to the left of his door thinking he can't see me at the little portal. 5 minutes. All right, I'm good. Go to my room. Get up in the morning. I see Jess. No Roman. I go, where is he? I took him to his room. He goes, he ain't nowhere. He was sleeping outside on the truck delivery out back. They thought he was a homeless guy.
No way.
Oh, I can tell you there's so many. Oh, well, you know. You've been around the Jackal guys enough to know. The going to jail and guns being pulled and people falling off buses and just, you know, I watched Randy Crowder knock out Ted Nugent's tour manager one night.
Oh, dude, it's awesome. This is the way of life, you know.
Yeah, no, that's the fun stuff, man. As long as it's somebody else at this point in my life, I'm way more fun watching it happen than being in the middle of it.
Yeah, guaranteed. I feel the same way.
All right, so listen, you're going to get up to, you got to get to Michigan. You're shooting the video today for Breathe Again, and then we'll probably see that, in 60 days?
Yeah, hopefully, maybe less. You know, I'm hoping definitely before the end of the year, so we'll see. I'll keep you up to date on that, let you know when it comes out and all that good stuff.
Well, man, maybe we'll get some chance here in 21. It'll everything will come around, and we'll get a chance to see each other in person.
Yeah, I love that, man. We owe you some shows. Besides, I just need some good hang time anyhow, so.
Well, hey, give my best to everybody, man. I'll be honest, I almost feel, I hope that Lee is not, I hope we didn't hurt his feelings. I realized today that I was talking to Jake, and I go, man, we have such a great friendship with you, Matt Dorito, that we haven't had Lee on, the lead singer, and I know he's cool and he doesn't suffer from the disease, but I'm always like, man, just make sure he knows that we love him, and it's nothing like that. It's just you and I struck up a fantastic friendship, and it just seems natural to go that way.
Yeah, for sure, man. And you know, it's all good, dude. I promise you. I'll see him today, and I'll tell him he said what's up.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure I'm overthinking it that he couldn't give a goddamn less, but I just always worry about stuff like that because I love everybody in the band, and everybody's a bunch of good people, man. I just, you know, it's just my worrisome head.
Well, I'll be sure to tell everyone, hey, for you, man, and I'm sure they'll be glad to hear it.
All right, man. Take care, my friend. I love you, brother. Take care. Hold on. Yeah, I just pictured him bringing that up and Lee going, who?
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.